James chapter 2. Can you hear me, Louise?
Yes.
Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Chapter 2, James. I remember when I was a brat, a kid, and my older brother, and Jack Levitt is still thinking that I'm brat, a kid. Yes, I am brat, a kid. He tops me anytime. My older brother, who is 3 years older than me, we have a knockdown, drag-out fight because I was a little bit bigger than him, actually about head bigger than him. I could kind of pin him down on the ground. That's a good thing about, it's a great feeling for the younger kid that can pin down the older one. And I get yelled at by my parent, my mother and my father, and I complain and I say, it's not fair. And somehow I get the feeling that I'm not their favorite because my brother was a brilliant kid and he always get the first and second place in the school. Now he's a neurosurgeon. Go figure, right? My father was a doctor, my brother is a doctor, and I'm the black sheep of the family. Anyway, so when I was a kid, that's not fair. It's not right. And my mother, who is a very wise woman, and she asked me to put out my finger like this and start to bite from your thumb to the pinky, which one is hurt worse? I said, they all hurt same. I was still grumpy. And she said, that's right. Either your brother or you, both of you are my sons. There is no difference. There is no favorite. I didn't believe her. In God's sight, we are all same. Keep that in mind, please. We are all same. There's no pet saint. How many of you know the pet kid in the school? I'm sure you didn't like that pet. Teacher's pet, huh? I used to hate that kid because I was not one of them. And to our merciful, loving God, the cross, at the foot of the cross, is a completely most level ground. When it comes to skin of color, a color of skin, our God is a colorblind. When it comes to social status and financial status, God is deaf. He cannot hear the financial statement from some wealthy person. In other words, God does not care which race we are or what kind of social status we are in or how much money we have. To Him, we are all the same. How many of you guys remember old commercial by Southwest? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Everybody started singing. Please control yourself. Don't sing. Especially Jack Levitt. Don't sing. Respect. Respect one another. It is a very important word. Now we are finding chapter 2 can be split in two sections. First portion from verse 1 to 13, we're finding about the favoritism is forbidden in the church. And the chapter 2, verse 14 through the end of the chapter is a faith without deed is dead. This guy, James, does not hold any punch. I mean, he just let it out. In other words, it's not what we wear makes our personality different. It's not what kind of car we drive. It doesn't matter whether it's a BMW, Corvette, or Mitsubishi Dinky-sized car. It doesn't matter what kinds of car we drive. Or it doesn't matter what kinds of house we're living in. Someone who is wise said once, kids doesn't care what kind of car they were riding. They don't remember when they're grown up. But they will remember the conversation they had in the car with their parents. And what kind of house they lived in, kids don't remember. They might remember it was a big house or a small house. That's about as far as it goes. But they will remember, they will cherish the memory they had with the parents in their home. It is true that we have this favoritism, we have this prejudice. We heard enough of the racial prejudice in the South Side. As a matter of fact, as you can tell, there's my beautiful woman, Karen, over there, in case you haven't noticed. She loves to get attention from people, so everybody look at her, please.
So sorry.
On the way home, I'll be there, so... I love you, honey. Okay. See, we have a tendency to have a difference. And there's racial prejudice not only the South Side of America, it happens in Korea too. Why? Because, by the way, do you guys know in Korea we do not use color photo for IDs? We all have a black hair, we all have the same color eyes, so it really doesn't matter, it's a moot point. So we use a black and white photos. Besides, as Connie says, we all look alike. And yeah, Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan, they all look alike. Anyway, so in Korea we have such a racial prejudice for... There will be a lot of problem with our child, Michelle. Half American, half Korean. Because in 1950, the war, 50 to 53, Korean Civil War, American soldiers came and helped us. However, when they left, there was a lot of American ammunition kids left behind. And it's a product of American GIs and the Korean prostitute. In other words, the majority of people would think that any American kid would be product of a bad marriage or some illicit marriage product. So Karen and I decided to come. I was going to come here anyway for study, but just came here. That's another racial prejudice. So humans have that kind of racial prejudice. Let's just think this way. Let's put Ed in the limo. He's wearing black tux, Connie's wearing evening gown, and they drove up to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Phoenix. When his stretch limo, 20 feet or 30 feet stretch limo, pulled up to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel front door, and they're stepping out in black tux with a bow tie, and then Connie's stepping out with the evening gown, do you think the bellboy will hop out and open the door for him? You can bet on it. Let's say I drove my former car. I had 86 Mitsubishi hatchback. And I found that every little hill, little bump from my workplace to home, because whenever I have to go up a little bit more than one degree angle, I have to open the floor panel and start to pedal real fast like a Flintstone. Because I cannot have either. I can't have air conditioning or engine. Not both. So one or another. So I chose the engine. It seems like it's easier to drive with the engine. Anyway, let's say I pulled up to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel with the tattered jeans and the soul-stained sweatshirt and the 86 Mitsubishi hatchback. Do you think bellhop will come out, look at me? They will say, delivery's in the back. So, in other words, by outward appearance, people will treat each other different. Somehow we find that in chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, James is talking about rich treating poor bad, and same time within the church, we are treating each other's bad. And he's emphatically going against it. And you might just want to mark this down so you can take a look at the verses later. Acts chapter 2, verse 45, and Acts chapter 4, 34. Acts 2, 45, and 4, 34. I'll just read it to you. two professors sold their possession and the goods and divided them among all and as anyone had need. In other words, the first century church, during the first century church, Christian got together, Jewish Christian got together, and they sold their property and they split to everyone. And okay, here's a big pot. If you need, come and get it. If you're hungry, we'll feed you. What a wonderful system they had. And chapter 4, verse 34 says, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, and for all who were possessors of the land, their house sold them and brought the proceed of the things that were sold. So in other words, from tomorrow, I want you to sell all of your home. Well, let's all live together in one place. Fat chance, right? No, just joking. Guys, don't write me a letter for that thing. Don't tell Robert about that. I'm teaching some heresies. That's not what I'm saying. They were helping each other. The concept was they were helping each other. All of a sudden, it stopped. So verse 1, we pick up of chapter 2. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord of glory with partiality. Lord Jesus taught us that glory of church is helping poor. Why? Where do we find that kind of thing? Second commandment. Love your what? Neighbors as who? Wow. You guys know that, huh? Let's see how good we practice. How many of you guys heard church cliques? You heard of? Never heard about? I think, you know, the reason why Jack didn't hear it because he's only been born again a couple of days. So church clique is a killer. What do you mean, church clique? You mean that we are all born again Christian, never hurt each other, and never say anything bad to each other, always good to each other, right? No. To our surprise, to disappoint to our Lord Jesus Christ, we are human beings, and that doesn't give us any excuse, but we should act better, but we should know better, but yet we do wrong things. I'm going to make this very clear to you, I am extremely anti-clique. If I see cliques in Calvary Chapel, sorry, that I will do my best to destroy that clique. I'm not making this just for fun. Clique kills the body of Christ. It's nothing wrong with, hanging around with your buddies, hanging around with your lady friends. Nothing wrong with it. But if you limit that association with those people only and you don't accept anyone else, that becomes clique. I told this to the core group who started me from the beginning that I said to them, the more we grow, the less time I'm going to spend with you guys. If you notice, the core groups are Jack, Louis, Pam, Carl, and the Willie and Teresa stuff. 8 people we started the Bible study together. Of course, she's my better half. What do you expect? Now, I said to those, I will spend less time in the church with you. Don't get offended. As a matter of fact, a lot of times I don't talk to you. I'd rather spend that time with someone else whom I've never seen. I will make myself available to them. Now, the more I get to know you guys, guess what? That will happen to you. Don't get bent out of shape, please. Don't say, oh, pastor used to be really nice to me, now he doesn't even talk to me. You have my home phone number, you have my cell phone number, what do you want? You can call me anytime you want.
I lost it.
Do you have a bulletin in your...
Yeah,
it's in there.
Okay,
and I told you before, I'm available 24 hours a day. If you need to talk to me, if you need to call me on the for prayer, anytime, call me. However, well, let's go back to the story. Favoritism, I try very much against it. One of the practices I do it is I made a specific order. This is the order to our accountant, bookkeeper, and Pam. I don't want to know how much you're giving. I need to know how much is coming in. That way we can plan ahead. Per week, each Sunday after the service, she let me know how much came in. But she doesn't tell me who is giving how much. So if you're giving a lot to a church, don't try to let me know. If you're giving none, that's fine. Don't let me know. Because me being a human being, I might say something nice to you if you give a lot, and I might be ugly to you if you don't give any. I'm not saying that it will happen. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope I'm better than that, but being a human being, it can happen. So don't let me know how much you're giving. Besides, you're not giving to me anymore. You're giving to God anymore. So it's on top of all, it's not your money. So why are you pretending you have something special for it? We shouldn't have anything like that. The clique kills church, as I said before. It divides church and splits the church. And that's one of the subtle weapons Satan uses against one another. Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 1, please. And it's the Old Testament, fifth book from the beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. Do not show partiality in judging. Hear both small and great alike. Do not be afraid of any man, for judgment belongs to God. Bring me any case too hard for you, and I will hear. God says, do not judge, or do not be partial. Ladies and gentlemen, church should not be a social club, okay? A lot of times, church turn into a social club. I hope nothing wrong with coming to church, having fun with one another. We should. But let's not turn this place into a social club. Let this be hospital. For those who need Jesus, the greatest physician. Let those who are sick, those who are hurting inside, come in and ask God to heal them. While we're sitting, while we're lying down in the spiritual bed waiting for our doctor to come, let's be kind to one another instead of being grumpy. Deuteronomy 1:17 explained to us that do not be partial and do not in judging. Leviticus is a third book in the Old Testament from the beginning. Leviticus chapter 19, please. Verse 15. Leviticus 19:15. Again, God speaking to us. Do not, 19:15, Leviticus, do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. It's not just for the judges. It's for all of us. God loves poor people. God has a special heart for them because they are needy people. When we become rich, and there is a portion in the proverb and some, I believe it's some, right? Don't let me be so rich that I may desert you. Don't let me be so poor that I may steal bread from my neighbor. God doesn't do that kind of thing. God provides what we need according to His riches and glory, Philippians says. But when we become so rich, we all of a sudden become self-independent. We no longer depend on God. It is hard for somebody who has everything to think about where my daily bread is going to come. I'm sure most of you have a job one way or another. Don't think that you will have that job forever. Don't think that you have jobs sewn in together. American economy can go down so fast that our eyes are going to, and our head's going to swing. Then what happened? If we depend on the American economy, which is not stable anyway, then a lot of people, like people, would you remember the Black Monday several years ago? The several people committed suicide from the Wall Street because they couldn't take it. That will happen. But once we start to trust God, and He prepared for us. And when He prepared for us, we can depend on Him more than ever before. But the rich people who tend to not to depend on God. So God does not care about that kind of thing. Somebody said, I believe it's Chuck Swindoll. He said, many people can handle poverty because when the corner is tight, they look up. But when they're flourishing, they don't depend on God. Let's go back to James chapter 2, verse 2, please. For if there should be come into your assembly a man with a golden ring and a fine apparel, and there should be also come in a poor man in a filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the good man, a poor man, you stand there or sit at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judge with evil thought? See, the assembly here is in Greek word is synagogue. We get the word synagogue, meeting place. This has happened right after the exile to the Babylon when the Jews was exiled by the King Nebuchadnezzar and they didn't have a place to worship. No longer, tabernacle is gone. So they assembled in a group. After a while they were in the authority of Babylon and they started to prepare themselves in their heart spiritually and for going back to the Jerusalem, going back to the Israel soil and worshiping one true God. And they promised to God they will never worship any other God other than one true God, Jehovah God. And idolatry stopped, as a matter of fact, because of Babylon. When they came back, they carried that meeting place called synagogue into the... Now it's all over the world. There's two kinds of nationality you can find just about any country. There are Jewish people, and another one is Chinese people. That's why you can find Chinese restaurants just about any corner of the town. Now, Jewish people start the synagogues and get together, but that place became the first century synagogue become partiality place. Somebody who comes in with the gold rings and the fine apparel, they get better treatment. And the other people don't. And God said, don't do that kind of thing. We tend to do that kind of thing, even Calvary Chapel. How? Look at the pastor's conference. I know. I'm the one who was organizing and executing the pastor's conference. Look at the speakers. John Corson used to have a 12,000 congregation. Skip Isaac, 15,000. Chuck Smith, 20,000. Steve Mays, 5,000 or 7,000 congregation. All these church, mega church speakers. Does it mean somebody in the Williams, Arizona? Is that pastor any less than Skip Isaac or Steve Mays? I don't think so. But why are we thinking that somehow those big guys are better? Then you might ask, then why you invite them? I don't have a choice. That's what the people think they should hear from. And my pastor, Robert Forrest, says, well, invite them. Yes, sir. In my opinion, I would like to invite somebody from Fort Walton Beach, Florida, James Flanders, and somebody, David Landry from Casa Grande. This guy has been struggling for the last 10-some years with 60 people, 70 people. Is he any less pastor? No. I think he's a gigantic spiritual giant. But he's not any less. Somehow we think that bigger church pastor, more spiritual. Are we showing favoritism? You can bet on it. Let's not do that in our church. From verse 5, it'll be nice after I tell you guys to turn your Bible to James. I didn't turn my Bible. Shame, 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 Gomer Pyle says. Verse 5. And from verse 5 to verse 7, rich persecute, as James says, rich persecute the poor believers. From verse 8 through 11, favoritism violates the royal law of God. And from verse 12 to 13, it talks about favoritism will be judged. So let's go one at a time. Persecution against the poor believers in verse 5. Listen, my beloved brothers, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith, heir of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme the noble name by which you are called? Let me give you an illustration. There was a lady who wants to attend this one particular church at the rich side of that particular town. And of course, in the parking lot, and the BMW is the lowest kinds, you know, Lamborghini, all that kinds of nice cars, Lexus. And she drove in with a humble car. She wants to get into the church, and of course, she didn't dress well like the rest of the ladies. Head usher kind of stopped her. And where are you going? He said, I'm going to go and worship the Lord. Think about it. This may not be a church for you. And, this is not kind of your class. So she was stopped, blocked her from going into the church to worship her Savior. To make a long story short, and he encouraged her to think one more time, and after you pray about it and come back, then we'll let you in. Next week, she didn't show up. Head usher didn't think about it, forgot about it. And he went to downtown, this building, for his legal thing, and walked into the building, and there's this lady polishing the stair rail. And he saw her, so he went to her. So, did you pray about it? She looked at me. Oh, yes, I did. So what did God tell you? He told me that Jesus told me that I tried to go into that church for the last several years. I couldn't go in there either. So don't feel bad. Ladies and gentlemen, our rich doesn't mean a thing to God. As a matter of fact, it can be a stumbling block between us and God. Verse 20 of the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 20. The third book of the New Testament. Mark, Luke, John, chapter 6, please. Some of you think, why you say that kind of thing? We know that where the book is. I know better than you. Probably you do. But for those who do not know, that's not favoritism, all right? Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." God has a special heart for those who are poor. All right, let's go back to Jesus. Verse 8. Now favoritism violates the royal law of love, and that is a sin. Verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You guys already recite that portion. So, you do well, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by law as a transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumble on one point, is guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," and said, "Do not murder." Now, if you not commit adultery and you do murder, and you become a transgressor of the law. So what is the law? That's all, folks. Royal law. What is royal law? We just read. It is a supreme law. What is the most important law that God tells us to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay. How many laws in the United States? Way too many. And if we get rid of all of them, and there's one industry will go downhill, lawyers, right? Now, we have all these laws, but we can sum it up in two laws. Love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Ten commandments can be reduced down into two. Why? First, six, talking about the Lord your God. Last four, talking about loving your neighbors. And the human laws coming from Ten Commandments. Let's go to Matthew 22, first book, New Testament. Matthew 22, please. Verse 36. This is just repeating of what we just read. Teachers, which is a great command in law? Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind." This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." KKK. Nazis, skinhead, Nation of Islam, Black Panther, what are they in common? Prejudice. In other words, if I have prejudice toward somebody, that means I am better than that person, correct? And saying that I'm in the connection, association with somebody who are my class. My entity, whatever you want to call it. In other words, it shows prejudice and favoritism. Do you know Ku Klux Klan was studied by elders and deacons in the South? They thought somehow blacks are made by sinners. And they are not sinners, of course. And they are special people. And blacks need to be kept as slaves. And so they consider Jewish peoples are against Christianity because they killed their Savior. But do they remember that their Savior happened to be a Jewish person? No, they forgot about that. So, you know what it is? Bottom line is they think they're better than someone else. When we start to act like, when we start to think that we are better than somebody else because we can quote more verse than somebody else, and I know about the doctrine of Christianity more than somebody else, I'm thinking Ku Klux Klan. I'm no different than them. I was listening to this president of Nation of Islam. He was extreme racist. He's a black man, and thinking that somehow the white people owe them something. I don't know you. My wife doesn't owe you anything. So where would you get that idea, other than being prejudiced? We cater our friendship to somebody who is more influential, more wealthy. Don't tell me you don't. I do. Do I regret it? You can bet on it. Do I ask God to forgive me? You can bet on it. People who have a better appearance to get treated better. People who have money get treated better. They be okay with other people in the world, but not in the church. Please don't. Another thing, just for your information, down the road, if Satan is to come into our church with a black hood, robe, let them welcome, please, because they need Jesus as much as we need Jesus. When they want to come in, listen to the Word of God, welcome them. You might want to embrace them, because I will. If you see somebody who coming in with a tattoo head to toe, and every portion of their body is pinned with paper clip or safety pin or bolt and nuts, you better welcome them. I will welcome them. When I see them, it gives me headache just looking at the bolt and nuts between their eyebrows. I will embrace them. I'm not going to treat them any different because I'm no different than them. If you find later somebody came out from prison, he's a former child molester, you better embrace him because I've been hanging around with him for 12 years. I hung around with a guy who chopped his wife and tossed him in the back of his pickup truck in the trash bag and drove around several days. Favoritism will be judged. We find in verse 12. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of the liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Proverbs 21:13, please. Proverbs is right psalm. Proverbs 21:13. Whoever shut his ears, 21:13. Whoever shut his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. This is a very important verse. Chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, you will be not judged. Chapter 7, verse 1. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. With the measure you use, you will be measured back to you. In other words, God is saying right back at you. If we treat a person, other people with prejudice, he will bring prejudice back to us. If we show favoritism to one person over another person, we will be judged by God. same measure. So let's make an application. Number one, favoritism is not from God, from the pit of hell. And please, especially ladies, don't get me wrong. I'm going to make this comment very carefully. Ladies tend to make clique more than guys. Isn't that true? Let's face it. Please don't. I know I'm walking very thin ice by saying that thing. Be careful. Do not make a clique. If you're going to clique, fine. Don't let anybody join you, ladies. Number two, favoritism divide the body of Christ. Guess who is loving that? Devil. So do you want to divide the body of Christ with your clique, with my clique? We should not. Number three. So we learn about favoritism. We learn about God is against prejudice. So, we should have a sort of action items, right? Do not, let me have your attention, please. Do not expect somebody to come and offer you kindness. You do it. I do it. Okay? So, on Sunday morning, we're going to start to practice this from Sunday morning. When you come to church, don't sit on your chair and expect to come and say, hello, how are you? You go say, hello, how are you to somebody else. Jesus came to you. You didn't come to Jesus. I didn't come to Jesus. As a matter of fact, you and I were the worst sinners. Yet he came to us. Let's do the same thing. Let's go to somebody, especially somebody whom you never seen before. Make yourself available. Open yourself. Be nice to that. You know what? If we start to practice that, what we just learned, not showing the favoritism, not showing prejudice, and we start to love one another, we can put these two communities and surrounding communities so fast in our church, we won't have a room. We might have to use this stadium in this high school. So, that's great. God did. Shouldn't we do the same thing? Let's do one more repeat. Favoritism does not come from God. It comes from evil. And as favoritism divides the church, so let's not play. That's not on his tune. It's the devil's tune. Number three, don't expect somebody to show your kindness to you. You and I show the kindness to other people. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. A lot of times it's not something we like to hear, but we need to hear. You are not the God of respecting any person because you do not have pet saint. Billy Graham is a pet saint to you. You have love for all of us. Equal love. Let us do the same thing. Let us love one another and show kindness to one another. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, thank you.